These classic results we have in trade is that trade always improves welfare. Those things break down in the presence of distortion because the standard gains from trade could be outweighed by you massively worsening allocative efficiency.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Does openness to international trade help or hinder economic development? Well, economists have been arguing the question for the last 250 years. So, contributing to the debate in a chapter for the forthcoming Handbook of International Economics, David Atkin and Dave Donaldson of MIT analyzed the conditions in which increased openness would improve aggregate welfare in developing countries. David joins me now. Welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
David, why are you emphasizing that this analysis is particularly for underdeveloped countries compared to, I don't know, the standard sort of analysis we see, I suppose, that focuses on more high-income economies?
That's an excellent question. So, broadly speaking, countries can grow richer by either increasing factors of production, such as more labor or better quality labor or more capital, or they can improve their ability to turn those factors into goods and services, which we call kind of total factor productivity. And one way to kind of raise the kind of aggregate productivity is to improve your technologies. But a second way is to just allocate your factors more efficiently so that they're being used for the highest return activities. And a hallmark of underdeveloped countries is that there are kind of pervasive market failures and distortions. Those could be things such as imperfect credit markets or poor legal enforcement of contracts. Our handbook chapter kind of thinks about how trade openness affects economic welfare in economies where there are potentially many distortions. And while obviously there are distortions in developed countries as well, we think these are really a kind of a hallmark of what makes developing countries different. And so that's really the focus of our chapter, is thinking about how those types of distortions affect the takeaways we may obtain from trade models.
So David, what typically are these distortions?
In the chapter, we review a lot of the existing evidence for a wide variety of distortions that we think are kind of typical of developing countries. And broadly speaking, we can distinguish those that drive a wedge between the price a buyer pays and the cost to the seller when selling an output, and those that drive a wedge between the price and cost when buying an input. On the output side, we think about things such as kind of regulation and domestic taxation, crime and theft, and markups, as well as kind of your canonical output distortions. On the input side, we think about capital distortions, ones which make the cost of credit very expensive, maybe differentially for small firms, etc. Distortions on labor, making it very costly to hire labor or fire labor, etc. As well as distortions on intermediates. And there we think about difficulty making contracts in kind of poor legal environments, as I mentioned briefly already. And then finally, obviously, there are distortions on imports and exports, such as tariffs, which we also take very seriously as, a key mechanism through which trade affects welfare is through changes in tariffs itself.
Is this why we need a model like the one that you are using, which reflects these distortions?
Yes, as you say, in our chapter, we build off some important recent work by Baki and Fari. And what they've done is they've written down a very general expression for how trade affects welfare in potentially distorted economies. And the reason this is useful for us is, firstly, it provides an opportunity for us to very clearly exposit the different forces that are relevant here for how trade may affect welfare in these countries. But we also use it as an organizing device to review broad swathes of the literature, thinking about distortions in developing countries, thinking about how trade may be ameliorating or exacerbating those distortions, and also how trade may be affecting those distortions. And finally, the model also allows us to go further and actually do a quantification that tries to both measure the relative importance of the different channels through which trade may affect welfare in developing countries, as well as think about which distortions might be most serious.
There are four potential channels in your model there for the cost of trading to affect total factor productivity. The first two here are advances in technology and changes in factor terms of trade. Are those the same for all economies, really, whether they are developed or not?
As you mentioned, the first channel is what we're calling the mechanical effects of technological change. So the basic idea here is if you lower trade costs, say by improving the technology you're using to move goods, and so previously you just needed a lot of resources to move goods, now you need fewer, then, you know, that's obviously going to benefit a country, since whenever it's bringing a good in, or, you know, less needs to go into that transportation, that movement. And so that's going to be a boon to consumers in that country. And how big a boon it is depends on how much trade they were doing previously. If they're doing a lot of trade, then a reduction in the cost of each of those trades is very big news. If they're doing very little trade, then it doesn't make so much of a difference. And this is true whether or not there are any distortions in the economy. And so we argue that this channel isn't more important or particular to developing countries. And so we focus on it less, but it provides a good benchmark for us. The second channel is similar in that regard. It's also present absent any distortions and occurs because trade costs may change the relative demand for home factors versus foreign factors. And so again, while that's important to include in the calculations, it's not something that we think is particularly central to thinking about developing countries. And so we focus much more on the third and fourth channels in the paper.
Yes, let's talk about those third and fourth channels. As I understand it, they're looking at how trade might improve allocative efficiency. What are you analysing here?
The simple idea in these last two terms is essentially, does trade make the country more or less distorted? And so the easiest way to think about this is that what is a distorted activity? It's one which the seller is not being paid as much as the buyer is willing to pay. And so because of that, too few factors are being allocated to the production of that good from a social perspective. So, you know, as an example, if there's a big tax on clothing but not on food, then too little clothing is going to be demanded and produced in the economy. And so if trade through the various impacts it might have, it increases the size of the clothing sector vis-a-vis the food sector, that's going to reduce that distortion that was present absent trade. And this is bringing an extra benefit from trade in improving allocative efficiency. So the trade literature has highlighted a bunch of mechanisms, a bunch of reasons why we think that trade may be affecting this allocative efficiency. And maybe the most prominent of these is there's a lot of trade models now, most prominently the Mellis model, where firms of different size disproportionately benefit from reductions in trade costs. And if we think what trade does is that the big firms are able to grow even bigger, they can now access foreign markets, and they're able to successfully expand. Meanwhile, the small firms face a lot of competition from abroad and they shrink. Then what's going to matter is whether we think it's those big firms that are more distorted or less distorted. And here, actually, the development literature really hasn't fully made its mind up which are the most distorted firms. On the one hand, we think of things such as credit constraints as being particularly pervasive for small firms who struggle to get loans. But at the same time, maybe regulations affect bigger firms more. And certainly, if we look at simple metrics like output per worker or something like that, it appears that it's the biggest firms who would benefit most from an additional unit of input. And so if you do believe that these big firms in the end are more distorted than the small firms, we want those big firms to grow even bigger. And then if trade does that, then that's going to also provide an extra benefit from allocative efficiency. Often people think that this is just about us wanting to make the most productive firms bigger. And in some cases, that will be the case. But, you know, generically, it's not so much that I want to make more productive firms bigger, and that will make the economy larger through allocative efficiency gains. It's that I want to make more distorted sectors bigger. And there's a difference there. And an easy way to see the difference between those two is for people who are familiar with something like the Mellis model, at least simple versions of it, it's going to be the case that that's kind of efficient insofar as we don't want any firms to be bigger or smaller. Already the most productive firms have grown very big, but at some point they grow bigger and bigger and bigger. That's kind of reducing the price that they're receiving for their goods. And in equilibrium, the biggest firms don't want to grow any bigger than that. And so if you did come into that economy and you started making the more productive firms bigger, that would actually worsen allocative efficiency. So, you know, really what matters here is, are we making the firms that were previously too small bigger? And why is a firm too small? Well, it's because of the distortions they face, not because of how productive they are per se. Moving on from here, why else might trade change allocative efficiency? While other big forces conjectured in the literature is trade may change the benefit the formal sector more than the informal sector, for example. And there's, again, a mixed literature saying which way that might go. But if we think that the formal sector faces more distortions than the informal sector, you'll want to make the formal sector bigger at the expense of the informal sector. And if trade does that, then that's going to have a dividend, an additional benefit from this reallocation term. And then finally, if you think the agricultural sector is bigger than it should be and the manufacturing sector smaller, maybe because there's lots more regulation in manufacturing or taxes or subsidies in agriculture or something like that, then again, if you open up more to trade and your comparative advantage leads you to produce more manufacturing goods, then that's going to be a benefit. If it leads you to produce more agriculture and they were the less distorted sector, then that's going to be a loss from this distortion perspective.
How might increasing trade reduce these distortions?
Previously, I was talking about holding fixed the level of distortions. Trade by reallocating resources to more distorted sectors could lead to allocative efficiency gains. Also, there can be big gains if trade changes or losses if change actually changes the size of those distortions in the first place. So an example here, and maybe the canonical example in the trade literature, is that opening up to more trade increases competition, and that may drive down markups in a particular sector. And markups are distortions, and so that will lower the average level of distortions. It may also change the distribution of distortions if markups, you know, go down just for the big firms but don't change so much for the small firms given the nature of competition, etc. So that's one way. More generally, we can think of trade potentially changing things such as institutions or labor regulations. We think about the opening up of China and the needs of companies who are facing global competitors. They may have pushed for more certainty regarding certain regulations or more favorable institutions regarding property rights, etc. And so we could imagine potentially very big gains if trade changes contracting institutions, for example, by making a kind of big group who cares a lot about improving these institutions. So there's a variety of ways that you can get additional gains or losses if trade is changing the size of the distortions themselves rather than the kind of allocations of factors given a set of distortions.
For your analysis, it sounds like pretty clearly you need firm-level data on these distortions in developing countries. Where on earth do you find data like that?
We try and do this quantification exercise to at least get a sense of which distortions matter more and some of the aggregate effects. And it's a admittedly heroic exercise, but for that, we need to measure every distortion on every firm, ideally in every economy in the world. Now, that's beyond what we can do, but we think we can get somewhere towards that by drawing on the quite rich World Bank Enterprise Survey data. They've conducted surveys now in hundreds of countries and many different firms. And we use the micro data on each of the firms to construct what those economies look like. We have to fill in a few gaps where necessary. And then we're also using those same data to try and get a sense of how big these distortions are. They ask a bunch of questions on theft, on competition, on regulations, various things which we transform into measures of distortions. And part of the reason why we try this quite heroic exercise is partly to make the point that it's difficult to think about trade and misallocation or trade and allocative efficiency without really considering the whole economy. And the reason for that is, you know, if you're just focusing, say, on the manufacturing sector, as is typical in many studies, you know, maybe trade has made the manufacturing sector much bigger than it would have been absent trade. And maybe the manufacturing sector is more distorted than the agricultural sector. And you could conclude just looking in the manufacturing sector that trade has made allocation worse. But had you stepped back further and looked across the whole economy by shifting resources into the more distorted sector, but within that sector to less distorted firms, then it could be a wash and you've potentially conclude the wrong thing. And so, you know, we think it's very valuable to try these kind of ambitious exercises where you try and capture distortions throughout the economy to try and see how trade affects things in the aggregate.
So then I'm going to try and tempt you into a heroic conclusion. In your model, is increased openness always good news at aggregate level for development?
That's a great question. I mean, the answer to that's somewhat simple, which is these classic results we have in trade, ignoring some nuances of distributional effect, is that trade always improves welfare. Those things break down in the presence of distortion because the standard gains from trade could be outweighed by you massively worsening allocative efficiency by exactly shifting resources to less distorted sectors. And so, you know, we find the same thing, which is it's possible that increased openness does not generate gains at the aggregate level, although our strong prior is that it's still likely to, as these allocative efficiency gains will likely be swamped by the direct benefits of trade.
Can we say anything from the work that you've done in this chapter about those distributional effects?
Unfortunately, that's not something we dwell on much in the chapter. The reason being quite simply is, you know, we need to walk before we can run, and there's still a long way to go thinking about misallocation before jumping to misallocation and distributional effects. That said, you know, there are excellent review articles that already think about trade and inequality, particularly the work of Penny Goldberg and Nina Pouchnik. And so I guess would refer the interested listener to those existing reviews. And that's definitely an area of interest for both me and Dave, and something actually we're thinking about at present.
I think for now, the two of you have done quite enough work in putting this together. Thank you very much for talking to me about it, David.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to have the conversation.
The chapter is called The Role of Trade in Economic Development. You can also find it as a working paper. Authors, as I mentioned, David Atkin and Dave Donaldson. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform. And all our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org, where you will also find articles about the papers we feature.